Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming along this evening and giving me the opportunity to talk to you. And I do speak to you tonight as a doctor who works in palliative care. So I look after people who are terminally ill and approaching the end of their life. I've been engaged with the euthanasia dispute for about 20 years now. And once again, our state and federal parliaments have been asked to consider changing the law to allow euthanasia to be practiced. In fact, we're told that 85% of Australians support such a change. Now, I believe that what this shows may be not so much how many people support euthanasia, so much as the fact that most people don't actually know what it is. Having discussed euthanasia on talkback radio many times now, I can tell you that there are a lot of misconceptions in our community about what actually happens at the end of life. Confusion abounds regarding what the term euthanasia means. But first of all, we need to know what euthanasia is not. Euthanasia is not the administration of medications needed to ease pain and discomfort at the end of life. Morphine, given in the doses needed to treat pain, does not shorten life. In fact, it may prolong it. Got some studies from Newcastle that show that it could in fact increase survival. Euthanasia is not the avoidance of burdensome or futile treatments which prolong the process of dying instead of the process of life. And euthanasia is not switching off life support machines even when we know it will lead to the death of the patient. None of these things is euthanasia. They are standard practice at the end of life. They have been intentionally confused with euthanasia in order to increase public support. And you know what? I think it's worked. For a large part of the population, that's what they believe. And apparently a billboard on the Hume Highway at Euguna is making sure everybody knows the numbers. 85% of the population apparently support euthanasia. But many people have been misled. Pain and suffering at the end of life is not inevitable. Palliative care services do much to keep the dying comfortable. And in fact, in places where it's legal, pain is a very uncommon reason why people even request euthanasia. And no mentally competent person has to undergo any treatment that they don't want. We all have that right of refusal, even if by refusing the treatment, our lives are shortened. And when we switch off life support machines, it doesn't kill the patient. The underlying disease kills the patient. That's why they were on life support in the first place. None of these things is euthanasia. None of these things requires a change in the law. They are legal and ethical options which already exist, and they are practiced these days in appropriate situations in Australian hospitals. Euthanasia refers to the deliberate administration of a drug which is intended to cause the death of someone who is suffering. A doctor killing a patient, no more, no less. It's usually because they mistakenly think that the suffering is inevitable and unavoidable, and that's the only way to stop the suffering. But we don't need legal euthanasia for people to have some sort of a say in what happens at the end of life. Many of these fears held by people in our community are in fact groundless. And they think they would want the option of euthanasia when they got to the end of their life. But evidence suggests that most of them won't. If you actually look at those people who are staring death in the face, people like my patients, they tend to think quite differently. A study in Sydney has shown that the number of people requesting euthanasia when they first appear at palliative care services is 2.8%. And that number falls to less than 1% once care has commenced. The human instinct at the end of life is to want more time, not less. Now, chances are that most of those 85% of people who were interviewed were not terminally ill. And so they don't realise what it will be like at the end. And it's not surprising because most Australians don't come into contact with death very often. But that's not the main reason why I oppose euthanasia. My concern is the social consequences of legalisation, which have been seen in those places where euthanasia has been legalised. And one such case is the Netherlands. Euthanasia was decriminalised in Holland in 2002 after 20 years of widespread practice under legal guidelines. Euthanasia was allowed for those experiencing intolerable suffering at the end of life. But by the time the law had passed, the courts had already legitimatised that people could be killed under that legislation when they weren't actually terminally ill. And then they allowed it for people whose suffering was not physical. And the Dutch are currently debating the need to allow people over 70 years of age to be killed when they become tired of life. Early in 2005, a Dutch hospital published their guidelines on how to kill disabled newborn babies. The number of reported euthanasia deaths in Holland rose 13% last year to 2,636, following an increase of 10% in 2008. Euthanasia is becoming more common. A generation of Dutch have had members of the Voluntary Euthanasia Society going into schools to tell them of the benefits of euthanasia. There are advertising campaigns on television. The taboo surrounding euthanasia is fading. But it's not the community acceptance of euthanasia which disturbs me so much as the abuse. Now, proponents of euthanasia will tell you, we'll put in legal guidelines that will stop abuse from happening. But the facts suggest otherwise. The Dutch government's first euthanasia report was published in 1991. The Remmelink report showed that around one-third of euthanasia deaths the previous year occurred without the patient's knowledge or consent. It worked out at about 1,000 deaths that year without knowledge or consent. In 1995, the next report showed a similar number, working out as one in five cases of euthanasia being performed without the clear and explicit request of the patient. And in 1998, the next report showed that 1,200 people in the Netherlands were given lethal injections without their knowledge. Over 100 of those patients were mentally competent. And so it goes on. There are stringent guidelines in place in Holland, but the numbers continue to grow. This is the experience in the places where euthanasia has been legalised. Don't count on your doctor being a protector of life. And why is it that when an apparently healthy person says that they want to die, we rush in to intervene and get psychiatric help? But when someone with cancer says they want to die, we try to change the law so their doctor can kill them. We know from research that up to 45% of cancer patients have depression. One of the symptoms of depression is a desire to end your life. Why is this group of patients being treated so differently? Why isn't this a psychiatric emergency? And we also know from research that patients regularly change their minds about what they want in medical treatment, and that what can seem intolerable at one point can seem perhaps not so bad at another point in their lives. We can't be sure that those people with a death wish, even if they really meant it at the time, would not have changed their minds if only we waited a little longer. Euthanasia is unnecessary. Palliative care services can ease the suffering at the end of life. Palliative care has always been underdeveloped in Holland. And euthanasia is dangerous. the vulnerable who cannot or will not request euthanasia would be at risk, just as they are now in the Netherlands. We have a God who has a special concern for the vulnerable. They will be at risk if we legalise euthanasia. Please join me in opposing euthanasia in any change of the law which will allow it to be practised in this country. Thank you.